My lord of Salisbury, we have stayed 10 days and hardly kept our countrymen together. And yet we hear no tidings from the king. Therefore, we will disperse ourselves. Farewell.
Stay yet another day, thou trusty captain. The king reposeth all his confidence in thee.
'Tis thought the king is dead. We will not stay. The bay trees in our country are all withered, and meteors fright the fixed stars of heaven. The pale-faced moon looks bloody on the earth, and lean look prophets whisper fearful change. Rich men look sad, and ruffians dance and leap, the one in fear to lose what they enjoy, the other to enjoy by rage and war. These signs forerun the death or fall of kings. Farewell. Our countrymen are gone and fled, as well assured Richard, their king is dead.
Ah, Richard! With the eyes of heavy mind, I see thy glory like a shooting star fall to the base earth from the firmament. Thy sun sets weeping in the lowly west, witnessing storms to come, woe and unrest. Thy friends are fled to wait upon thy foes, and crossly to thy good all fortune goes.
Bring forth these men. Boosie and Green, I will not vex your souls, since presently your souls must part your bodies. With too much urging your pernicious lies, for 'twere no charity. Yet, to wash your blood from off my hands, here in a view of men, I will unfold some causes of your deaths. You have misled a prince, a royal king, a happy gentleman in blood and lineaments, by you unhappied and disfigured clean. You have, in manner, with your sinful hours, made a divorce betwixt his queen and him, broke the possession of a royal bed, and stained the beauty of a fair queen's cheeks with tears drawn from her eyes by your foul wrongs. Myself, a prince by fortune of my birth, near to the king in blood, and near in love till you did make him misinterpret me, have stooped my neck under your injuries, and sighed my English breath in foreign clouds, eating the bitter bread of banishment. Whilst you have fed upon my signories, disparked my parks and felled my forest woods, from mine own windows torn my household coat, raised out my impress, leaving me no sign save men's opinions and my living blood to show the world I am a gentleman. This and much more, much more than twice all this, condemns you to the death. See them delivered over to execution and the hand of death.
More welcome is the stroke of death to me than Bolingbroke to England. Lords, farewell.
My comfort is that heaven will take our souls and plague injustice with the pains of hell.
My lord Northumberland, see them dispatched. Uncle, you say the queen is at your house. For God's sake, fairly let her be entreated. Tell her I send to her my kind commends. Take special care my greetings be delivered.
A gentleman of mine I have dispatched with letters of your love to her at large.
Thanks, gentle uncle. Come, lords, away, to fight with Glendower and his complices. A while to work, and after Holy Day.
The Sounds of Shakespeare presents The Tragedy of Richard II, Part 2.
Bucklawley Castle, call they this at hand?
Yea, my lord. How brooks your grace the air after the late tossing on the breaking seas?
Needs must I like it well. I weep for joy to stand upon my kingdom once again. Dear earth, I do salute thee with my hand, though rebels wound thee with their horses' hoofs. As a long-parted mother with her child plays fondly with her tears and smiles in meeting, so weeping, smiling, greet I thee, my earth, and do thee favor with my royal hands. Feed not thy sovereign's foe, my gentle earth, nor with thy sweets comfort his ravenous sense, but that thy spiders that suck up thy venom and heavy-gated toads lie in their way, doing annoyance to the treacherous feet which with usurping steps do trample thee. Yield stinging nettles to mine enemies, and when they from thy bosom pluck a flower, guard it, I pray thee, with a lurking adder, whose double tongue may with a mortal touch throw death upon my sovereign's enemies. Mock not my senseless conjuration, lords.
This earth shall have a feeling, and these stones prove armed soldiers, ere her native king shall falter under foul rebellion's arms.
Fear not, my lord. That power that made you king hath power to keep you king in spite of all. The means that heaven yields must be embraced and not neglected. Else if heaven would, and we will not, heaven's offer we refuse the proffered means of succor and redress.
He means, my lord, that we are too remiss, whilst Bolingbroke through our security grows strong and great in substance and in friends.
This comfortable cousin! Know'st thou not that when the searching eye of heaven is hid behind the globe and lights the lower world, then thieves and robbers range abroad unseen, in murders and in outrage bloody here? But when, from under his terrestrial ball, he fires the proud tops of the eastern pines and darts his light through every guilty hole, then murderers, treasons, and detested sins, the cloak of night being plucked from off their backs, stand bare and naked, trembling at themselves? So when this thief, this traitor Bolingbroke, who all this while hath reveled in the night whilst we were wandering with the Antipodes, shall see us rising in our throne, the east, his treasons will sit blushing on his face, not able to endure the sight of day, but self-affrighted, trembling at his sin. Not all the water in the rough, rude sea can wash the balm from an anointed king. The breath of worldly men cannot depose the deputy elected by the Lord. For every man that Bolingbroke hath pressed to lift shrewd steel against our golden crown, God, for his Richard, hath in heavenly pay a glorious angel. Then, if angels fight, weak men must fall, for heaven still guards the right. Welcome, my lord. How far off lies your power?
Nor near nor further off, my gracious lord, than this weak arm. Discomfort guides my tongue and bids me speak of nothing but despair. One day too late, I fear me, noble lord, hath clouded all thy happy days on earth. Oh, call back yesterday. Bid time return, and thou shalt have 12,000 fighting men. Today, unhappy day too late, o'erthrows thy joys, friends, fortune, and thy state. For all the Welshmen, hearing thou wert dead, are gone to Bolingbroke, dispersed, and fled.
Comfort, my liege. Why looks your grace so pale?
But now the blood of 20,000 men did triumph in my face, and they are fled. Until so much blood thither come again, have I not reason to look so pale and dead? All souls that will be safe fly from my side, for time hath set a blot upon my pride.
Comfort, my liege. Remember who you are.
I had forgot myself. Am I not king? Awake, thou sluggard majesty, thou sleep'st? Is not the king's name 20,000 names? Arm, arm, my name. A puny subject strikes at thy great glory. Look not to the ground. Ye favorites of a king, are we not high? High be our thoughts. I know my uncle York hath power enough to serve our turn.
Oh, my lord!
And who comes here?
More health and happiness betide my liege than can my care-tuned tongue deliver him.
Mine ear is open and my heart prepared. The worst is worldly loss thou canst unfold. Say, is my kingdom lost? Why, 'twas my care. And what loss is it to be rid of care? Strives Bolingbroke to be as great as we? Greater he shall not be. If he serve God, we'll serve him too and be his fellows so. Revolt our subjects? That we cannot mend. They break their faith to God as well as us. Cry, woe, destruction, ruin, loss, decay. The worst is death, and death will have his day.
Glad am I that your highness is so armed to bear the tidings of calamity. Like an unseasonable stormy day, which makes the silver rivers drown their shores, as if the world were all dissolved to tears, so high above his limits swells the rage of Bolingbroke, covering your fearful hand with large bright steel and hearts harder than steel. White beards have armed their thin and hairless scalps against thy majesty, and boys with women's voices strive to speak big, and clap their female joints in stiff, unwieldy arms against thy crown. Thy very beadsmen learn to bend their bows of double fatal yew against thy state. Yea, thy staff women manage rusty bills against thy seat. Both young and old rebel, and all goes worse than I have the power to tell.
Oh, too well. Too well thou tell'st a tale so ill. Where is the Earl of Wiltshire? Where is Bagot? What has become of Busey? Where is Green, that they have let the dangerous enemy measure our confines with such peaceful steps? If we prevail, their heads shall pay for it. I warrant they have made a peace with Bolingbroke.
Peace have they made with him indeed, my lord.
Oh, villains! Vipers damned without redemption! Dogs easily won to fawn on any man. Snakes in my heart blood warmed that sting my heart. Three Judases, each one thrice worse than Judas. Would they make peace? Terrible hell make war on their spotted souls for this offense.
Sweet love, I see, changing his property, turns to the sourest and most deadly hate. Again uncurse their souls. Their peace is made with heads and not with hands. Those whom you curse have felt the worst of death's destroying wound, and lie full low, graved in the hollow ground.
Is Bushy Green and the Earl of Wiltshire dead?
Yea, all of them at Bristol lost their heads.
Where is the Duke my father with his power?
No matter where. Of comfort, no man speak. Let's talk of graves, of worms and epitaphs. Make dust our paper and with rainy eyes write sorrow on the bosom of the earth. Let's choose executors and talk of wills. And yet not so. For what can we bequeath save our deposed bodies to the ground? Our lands, our lives and all are Bolingbroke's, and nothing can we call our own but death and that small model of the barren earth which serves as paste to cover our bones. For God's sake, let us sit upon the ground and tell sad stories of the death of kings. How some have been deposed, some slain in war, some haunted by the ghosts they have deposed. Some poisoned by their wives, some sleeping killed, all murdered. For within the hollow crown that rounds the mortal temples of a king keeps death his court. And there the antic sits, scoffing his state and grinning at his pomp, allowing him a breath, a little scene, to monarchize, be feared, and kill with looks, infusing him with self and vain conceit, as if this flesh which walls about our life were brass impregnable, and humored thus, comes at the last, and with a little pin bores through his castle wall, and farewell, king! Cover your heads, and mock not flesh and blood with solemn reverence. Throw away respect, tradition, form, and ceremonious duty, for you have but mistook me all this while. I live with bread like you. Feel want, taste grief, need friends. Subjected thus, how can you say to me, I am a king?
My lord, wise men ne'er set and wail their woes, but presently prevent the ways to wail. To fear the foe, since fear oppresseth strength, gives in your weakness strength unto your foe, and so your follies fight against yourself. Fear and be slain, no worse can come to fight. And fight and die is death destroying death, where fearing dying pays death servile breath.
My father hath a power. Inquire of him and learn to make a body of a limb.
Thou chidest me well. Proud Bolingbroke, I come to change blows with thee for our day of doom. This ague fit of fear is overblown. An easy task it is to win our own. Say, Scroope, where lies our uncle with his power? Speak sweetly, man, although thy looks be sour.
Men judge by the complexion of the sky, the state and inclination of the day. So may you by my dull and heavy eye. My tongue hath but a heavier tale to say. I play the torturer by small and small to lengthen out the worst that must be spoken. Your Uncle York is joined with Bolingbroke, and all your northern castles yielded up, and all your southern gentlemen in arms upon his party.
Thou hast said enough. Beshrew thee, O Merrill, which didst lead me of that sweet way I was into despair. What say you now? What comfort have we now? By heaven, I'll hate him everlastingly that bids me be of comfort any more. Go to Flint Castle. There I'll pine away, a king. Woe's slave shall kingly woe obey. That power I have, discharge, and let them go to ear the land that hath some hope to grow. For I have none. Let no man speak again to alter this, for counsel is but vain.
My liege, one word!
He does me double wrong that wounds me with the flatteries of his tongue. Discharge, my followers!
Let them hence away from Richard's Knight to Bolingbroke's. Fair day. Barklawley Castle, call they this at hand?
Yea, my lord. How brooks your grace the air after the late tossing on the breaking seas?
Needs must I like it well. I weep for joy to stand upon my kingdom once again. Dear earth, I do salute thee with my hand, though rebels wound thee with their horses' hoofs. As a long-parted mother with her child plays fondly with her tears and smiles in meeting, so weeping, smiling, greet I thee, my earth. And do thee favor with my royal hands. Feed not thy sovereign's foe, my gentle earth, nor with thy sweets comfort his ravenous sense, but let thy spiders that suck up thy venom and heavy-gated toads lie in their way, doing annoyance to the treacherous feet which with usurping steps do trample thee. Yield stinging nettles to mine enemies, and when they from thy bosom pluck a flower, guard it, I pray thee, with a lurking adder, whose double tongue may with a mortal touch throw death upon my sovereign's enemies. Mock not my senseless conjuration, lords. This earth shall have a feeling, and these stones prove armed soldiers, ere her native king shall falter under foul rebellion's arms.
Fear not, my lord. That power that made you king hath power to keep you king in spite of all. The means that heaven yields must be embraced and not neglected. Else if heaven would, and we will not, heaven's offer we refuse the proffered means of succor and redress.
He means, my lord, that we are too remiss. While Bolingbroke through our security grows strong and great in substance and in friends.
Discomfortable cousin! Know'st thou not that when the searching eye of heaven is hid behind the globe and lights the lower world, then thieves and robbers range abroad unseen, in murders and in outrage bloody here. But when, from under his terrestrial ball, he fires the proud tops of the eastern pines and darts his light through every guilty hole, then murderers, treasons, and detested sins, the cloak of night being plucked from off their backs, stand bare and naked, trembling at themselves. So when this thief, this traitor Bolingbroke, who all this while hath reveled in the night whilst we were wandering with the Antipodes, shall see us rising in our throne, the east, his treasons will sit blushing on his face, not able to endure the sight of day, but self-affrighted, trembling at his sin. Not all the water in the rough, rude sea can wash the balm from an anointed king. The breath of worldly men cannot depose the deputy elected by the Lord. For every man that Bolingbroke hath pressed to lift shrewd steel against our golden crown, God, for his Richard, hath in heavenly pay a glorious angel. Then, if angels fight, weak men must fall, for heaven still guards the right. Welcome, my lord. How far off lies your power?
Nor near nor further off, my gracious lord, than this weak arm. Discomfort guides my tongue and bids me speak of nothing but despair. One day too late, I fear me, noble lord, hath clouded all thy happy days on earth. Oh, call back yesterday. Bid time return, and thou shalt have 12,000 fighting men. Today, unhappy day too late, o'erthrows thy joys, friends, fortune, and thy state. For all the Welshmen hearing thou wert dead, are gone to Bolingbroke, dispersed, and fled.
Comfort, my liege. Why looks your grace so pale?
But now the blood of 20,000 men did triumph in my face, and they are fled. Until so much blood thither come again, have I not reason to look so pale and dead? All souls that will be safe fly from my side, for time hath set a blot upon my pride.
Comfort, my liege. Remember who you are.
I had forgot myself. Am I not king? Awake, thou sluggard majesty, thou sleep'st. Is not the king's name 20,000 names? Arm, arm, my name. A puny subject strikes at thy great glory. Look not to the ground. Ye favorites of a king, are we not high? High be our thoughts. I know my uncle York hath power enough to serve our turn.
Oh, my lord!
And who comes here?
More health and happiness betide my liege than can my care-tuned tongue deliver him.
Mine ear is open and my heart prepared.
The worst is worldly loss thou canst unfold. Say, is my kingdom lost? Why, 'twas my care. And what loss is it to be rid of care? Strives Bolingbroke to be as great as we? Greater he shall not be. If he serve God, we'll serve him too, and be his fellows so. Revolt our subjects? That we cannot mend. They break their faith to God as well as us. Cry, woe, destruction, ruin, loss, decay. The worst is death, and death will have his day.
Glad am I that your highness is so armed to bear the tidings of calamity. Like an unseasonable stormy day, which makes the silver rivers drown their shores, as if the world were all dissolved to tears, so high above his limits swells the rage of Bolingbroke, covering your fearful hand with large bright steel and hearts harder than steel. White beards have armed their thin and hairless scalps against thy majesty, and boys with women's voices strive to speak big, and clap their female joints in stiff, unwieldy arms against thy crown. Thy very beadsmen learn to bend their bows of double fatal yew against thy state. Yea, thy staff women manage rusty bills against thy seat. Both young and old rebel, and all goes worse than I have the power to tell.
Oh, too well thou tell'st a tale so ill. Where is the Earl of Wiltshire? Where is Bagot? What has become of Bussy? Where is Green, that they have let the dangerous enemy measure our confines with such peaceful steps? If we prevail, their heads shall pay for it. I warrant they have made a peace with Bolingbroke.
Peace have they made with him indeed, my lord.
Oh, villains! Vipers damned without redemption! Dogs easily won to fawn on any man. Snakes in my heart blood warmed that sting my heart. Three Judases, each one thrice worse than Judas. Would they make peace? Terrible hell make war on their spotted souls for this offense.
Sweet love, I see, changing his property, turns to the sourest and most deadly hate. Again uncurse their souls. Their peace is made with heads and not with hands. Those whom you curse have felt the worst of death's destroying wound, and lie full low, graved in the hollow ground.
Is Bussy, Green, and the Earl of Wiltshire dead?
Yea, all of them at Bristol lost their heads.
Where is the Duke my father with his power?
No matter where. Of comfort, no man speak. Let's talk of graves, of worms and epitaphs. Make dust our paper and with rainy eyes write sorrow on the bosom of the earth. Let's choose executors and talk of wills. And yet not so. For what can we bequeath save our deposed bodies to the ground? Our lands, our lives and all are Bolingbroke's, and nothing can we call our own but death and that small model of the barren earth which serves as paste to cover our bones. For God's sake, let us sit upon the ground and tell sad stories of the death of kings. How some have been deposed, some slain in war, some haunted by the ghosts they have deposed, some poisoned by their wives, some sleeping killed, all murdered. For within the hollow crown that rounds the mortal temples of a king keeps death his court. And there the antic sits, scoffing his state and grinning at his pomp, allowing him a breath, a little scene, to monarchize, be feared, and kill with looks, infusing him with self and vain conceit, as if this flesh which walls about our life were brass impregnable, and humored thus, comes at the last, and with a little pin bores through his castle wall, and farewell, king! Cover your heads, and mock not flesh and blood with solemn reverence. Throw away respect, tradition, form, and ceremonious duty, for you have but mistook me all this while. I live with bread like you, feel want, taste grief, need friends. Subjected thus, how can you say to me, I am a king?
My lord, wise men ne'er set and wail their woes, but presently prevent the ways to wail. To fear the foe, since fear oppresseth strength, gives in your weakness strength unto your foe, and so your follies fight against yourself. Fear and be slain, no worse can come to fight. And fight and die is death destroying death. Where fearing dying pays death, servile breath.
My father hath a power. Inquire of him and learn to make a body of a limb.
Thou chidest me well. Proud Bolingbroke, I come to change blows with thee for our day of doom. This ague fit of fear is overblown. An easy task it is to win our own. Say, Scroop, where lies our uncle with his power? Speak sweetly, man, although thy looks be sour.
Men judge by the complexion of the sky, the state and inclination of the day. So may you by my dull and heavy eye. My tongue hath but a heavier tale to say. I play the torturer by small and small to lengthen out the worst that must be spoken. Your Uncle York is joined with Bolingbroke, and all your northern castles yielded up, and all your southern gentlemen in arms upon his party.
Thou hast said enough. Beshrew thee, O Merrill, which didst lead me of that sweet way I was into despair. What say you now? What comfort have we now? By heaven, I'll hate him everlastingly that bids me be of comfort any more. Go to Flint Castle. There I'll pine away. A king, woe's slave, shall kingly woe obey. That power I have, discharge, and let them go to ear the land that hath some hope to grow. For I have none. Let no man speak again to alter this, for counsel is but vain.
My liege, one word!
He does me double wrong that wounds me with the flatteries of his tongue. Discharge my followers! Let them hence away from Richard's knight to Bolingbroke's fair day.
So that by this intelligence we learn the Welshmen are dispersed and Salisbury has gone to meet the king, who lately landed with some few private friends upon this coast.
The news is very fair and good, my lord. Richard, not far from hence, hath hit his head.
It would beseem the Lord Northumberland to say King Richard. Alack the heavy day when such a sacred king should hide his head.
Your grace mistakes. Only to be brief left I his title out.
The time hath been, would you have been so brief with him, he would have been so brief with you to shorten you, for taking so the head, your whole head's length.
Mistake not, uncle, further than you should.
Take not, good cousin, further than you should, lest you mistake the heavens or all our heads.
I know it, uncle, and oppose not myself against their will. But who comes here? Welcome, Harry. What, will not this castle yield?
The castle royally is manned, my lord, against thy entrance.
Royally? Why, it contains no king.
Yes, my good lord, it doth contain a king. King Richard lies within the limits of yon lime and stone, and with him are the Lord O'Merrill, Lord Salisbury, Sir Stephen Scroop, besides a clergyman of holy reverence. Who? I cannot learn.
Oh, belike it is the Bishop of Carlisle.
Northumberland, go to the rude ribs of that ancient castle. Through brazen trumpet, send the breath of parley into his ruined ears, and thus deliver. Henry Bolingbroke, on both his knees, doth kiss King Richard's hand, and sends allegiance and true faith of heart to his most royal person. Hither come, even at his feet, to lay my arms and power, provided that my banishment repealed and lands restored again be freely granted. If not, I'll use the advantage of my power, and lay the summer's dust with showers of blood, rained from the wounds of slaughtered Englishmen. The which, how far off from the mind of Bolingbroke it is, such crimson tempest should bedrench the fresh green lap of fair King Richard's land, my stooping duty tenderly shall show. Go signify as much, while here we march upon the grassy carpet of this plain. Let's march without noise of threatening drum, that from the castle's tottered battlements our fair appointments may be well perused. Methinks King Richard and myself should meet with no less terror than the elements of fire and water, when their thundering shock at meeting tears the cloudy cheeks of heaven. Be he the fire, I'll be the yielding water. The rage be his, while on earth I rain my waters, on the earth and not on him. March on, and mark King Richard how he looks.
See, King Richard doth himself appear. As doth the blushing, discontented sun from out the fiery portal of the east, where he perceives the envious clouds are bent to dim his glory and to stain the track of his bright passage to the Occident.
Yet looks he like a king, behold, as bright as is the eagle's, lightens forth controlling majesty. Alack, alack, for woe that any harm should stain so fair a show.
Northumberland, we are amazed, and thus long have we stood to watch the fearful bending of thy knee, because we thought ourselves thy lawful king,
And if we be, how dare thy joints forget to pay their awful duty to our presence? If we be not, show us the hand of God that hath dismissed us from our stewardship. For well we know, no hand of blood and bone can gripe the sacred handle of our scepter, unless he do profane steal or usurp. And though you think that all, as you have done, have torn their souls by turning them from us, and we are barren and bereft of friends, yet know, my master, God Omnipotent, is mustering in his clouds on our behalf armies of pestilence. And they shall strike your children yet unborn and unbegot that lift your vassal hands against my head and threat the glory of my precious crown. Tell Bolingbroke, for yon methinks he is, that every stride he makes upon my land is dangerous treason. He has come to open the purple testament of bleeding war. But ere the crown he looks for live in peace, 10,000 bloody crowns of mother's sons shall ill become the flower of England's face, change the complexion of her made pale peace to scarlet indignation, and bedew her pasture's grass with faithful English blood.
O King of Heaven, forbid our lord the king should so with civil and uncivil arms be rushed upon. Thy thrice noble cousin, Harry Bolingbroke, doth humbly kiss thy hand. And by the honorable tomb he swears that stands upon your royal grandsire's bones, and by the royalties of both your bloods, currents that spring from one most gracious head, and by the buried hand of warlike Gaunt, and by the worth and honor of himself, comprising all that may be sworn or said, his coming hither hath no further scope than for his lineal royalties, and to beg enfranchisement immediate on his knees, which on thy royal party granted once, his glittering arms he will commend to rust, his barbed steeds to stables, and his heart to faithful service of your majesty. This swears he, as he is a prince, is just, and as I am a gentleman, I credit him.
Northumberland, say thus. The king returns, his noble cousin is right welcome hither, and all the number of his fair demands shall be accomplished without contradiction. With all the gracious utterance thou hast, speak to his gentle hearing kind commends.
We do debase ourselves, our Meryl, do we not? To look so poorly and to speak so fair. Shall we call back Northumberland and send defiance to the traitor, and so die?
No, good my lord. Let's fight with gentle words till time lends friends and friends their helpful swords.
Oh, God, that ere this tongue of mine that laid the sentence of dread banishment on yon proud man should take it off again with words of sooth. Oh, that I were as great as in my grief, or lesser than my name, or that I could forget what I have been, or not remember what I must be now. Swell'st thou, proud heart? I'll give thee scope to beat, since foes have scope to beat both thee and me.
Northumberland comes back from Bolingbroke.
What must the king do now? Must he submit? The king shall do it. Must he be deposed? The king shall be contented. Must he lose the name of king? Oh, God's name! Let it go. I'll give my jewels for a set of beads, my gorgeous palace for a hermitage, my gay apparel for an almsman's gown, my figured goblets for a dish of wood, my scepter for a palmer's walking staff, my subjects for a pair of carved saints, and my large kingdom for a little grave. A little, little grave. An obscure grave. Or I'll be buried in the king's highway, some way of common trade, where subjects' feet may hourly trample on their sovereign's head. For on my heart they tread now whilst I live, and buried once, why not upon my head? Oh, Meryl, thou weep'st, my tender-hearted cousin. We'll make foul weather with despised tears. Our sighs and they shall lodge the summer corn and make a dearth in this revolting land. Or shall we play the wantons with our woes and make some pretty match with shedding tears? And thus, to drop them still upon one place till they have fretted us a pair of graves within the earth, and therein laid, there lies two kinsmen dig their graves with weeping eyes. Would not this all do well? Well, well, I see I talk but idly, and you laugh at me.
Most mighty prince, my lord Northumberland, what says King Bolingbroke. Will his majesty give Richard leave to live till Richard die? You make a leg, and Bolingbroke says I.
My lord, in the base court he doth attend to speak with you. May it please you to come down.
Down, down I come.
Like listening fit and wanting the manage of unruly jades.
In the base court?
Base court where kings grow base to come at traitors' calls and do them grace.
In the base court? Come down? Down court. Down, king, for night owls shriek where mounting larks should sing.
What says his majesty?
Sorrow and grief of heart makes him speak fondly like a frantic man. Yet he has come.
Stand all apart and show fair duty to his majesty. My gracious lord.
Fair cousin, you debase your princely knee to make the base earth proud with kissing it. Me rather had my heart might feel your love than my unpleased eyes see your courtesy.
Up, cousin, up!
Your heart is up, I know. Crown high at least, although your knee be low.
My gracious lord, I come but for mine own.
Your own is yours, and I am yours and all.
So far be mine, my most redoubted lord, as my true service shall deserve your love.
Well you deserve. They well deserve to have that know the strongest and surest way to get. Old York, give me your hand. Nay, dry your eyes. Tears show their love but want their remedies.
Cousin, I am too young to be your father, though you are old enough to be my heir. What you will have, I'll give, and willing too. For we must do what force will have us do. Set on toward London!
Cousin, is it so?
Yea, my good lord.
Then I must not say no.
What sport shall we devise here in this garden to drive away the heavy thought of care?
Oh, madam will play at bowls.
'Twill make me think the world is full of rubs, and that my fortune runs against the bias.
Well, madam, we'll dance.
My legs can keep no measure in delight, when my poor heart no measure keeps in grief. Therefore, no dancing, girl. Some other sport.
Madam, we'll tell tales.
Of sorrow or of joy?
Of either, madam.
Of neither, girl. For if of joy, being altogether wanting, it doth remember me the more of sorrow. Or if of grief, being altogether had, it adds more sorrow to my want of joy. What I have I need not to repeat. And what I want it boots not to complain.
Madam, I'll sing.
When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when you're feeling...
'Tis well that thou hast cause, but thou shouldst please me better, wouldst thou weep?
I could weep, madam, would it do you good?
And I could sing what weeping do me good, and never borrow any tear of thee. But stay, here come the gardeners. Let's step into the shadow of these trees. My wretchedness unto a row of hints I try to stay. For everyone thought so against a change. Woe is forerun with woe.
Oh, go bind thou up yon dangling apricocks, which, like unruly children, make their sire stoop with oppression of their prodigal weight. Give some supportance to the bending twigs. Go thou, like an executioner. Cut off the heads of too fast-growing sprays that look too lofty in our commonwealth. All must be even in our government. You thus employed, I will go root away the noisome weeds, that without profit suck the soil's fertility from wholesome flowers.
Why should we, in the compass of a pale, keep law and form in due proportion showing, as in a model our firm estate, when our sea-walled garden, the whole land is full of weeds, her fairest flowers choked up, her fruit trees all unpruned, her hedges ruined, her knots disordered, and her wholesome herbs swarming with caterpillars.
Hold thy peace! He that hath suffered this disordered spring hath now himself met with the fall of leaf. The weeds that his broad-spreading leaves did shelter, that seemed in eating him to hold him up, are plucked up root and all by Bolingbroke. I mean the Earl of Wiltshire, Boosie and Green.
What? Are they dead?
They are, and Bolingbroke hath seized the wasteful king. Oh, what pity is it that he hath not so trimmed and dressed his land as we this garden? We at time of year do wound the bark, the skin of our fruit trees, lest being overproud with sap and blood, with too much riches it confound itself. Had he done so to great and growing men, they might have lived to bear and he to taste the fruits of duty. Superfluous branches we lop away that bearing boughs may live. Had he done so, himself had borne the crown, which waste of idle hours hath quite thrown down.
What? Think you then the king shall be deposed?
Depressed he is already, and deposed 'tis doubt he will be. Letters came last night to a dear friend of the good Duke of York's that tell black tidings.
Oh, I am pressed to death through want of speaking. Thou, old Adam's likeness, set to dress this garden, how dares thy harsh, rude tongue sound this unpleasing news? What Eve, what serpent hath suggested thee to make a second fall of cursed man? Why dost thou say King Richard is deposed? Darest thou, thou little better thing than earth, divine his downfall? Say where, when, and how camest thou by these ill tidings? Speak, thou wretch!
Pardon me, madame. Little joy have I to breathe these news, yet what I say is true. King Richard, he is in the mighty hold of Bolingbroke. Their fortunes both are weighed, and your lord's scale is nothing but himself, and some few vanities that make him light. But in the balance of great Bolingbroke, besides himself, are all the English peers, and with that odds he weighs King Richard down. Post you to London, and you'll find it so. I speak no more than everyone doth know.
Nimble mischance, not so light of foot. Doth not thy embassage belong to me, and am I the last that knows it? Oh, thou thinkest to serve me less that I may longest keep thy sorrow in my breast. Come, lady, go. To meet at London, London's king in woe. What? Was I born to this, that my sad look should grace the triumph of great Bolingbroke? Gardener, for telling me these news of woe, pray God the plants thou graftest may never grow.
Oh, poor queen. So that thy state might be no worse, I would my skill were subject to thy curse. Here did she fall a tear, here in this place, I'll set a bank of rue, sour herb of grace. Rue, even for Ruth, here shortly shall be seen, in the remembrance of a weeping queen.